What are you having?
You know, I eat these edamame noodles.
Yeah.
They're.
You're not having like dinner powder?
Hey, look. If there was a dinner powder that I enjoyed, that would be exactly it. But I haven't found anything that I like that much. But these edamame noodles are they're very high in protein, 24 grams of protein for a 2-ounce serving. That's a lot of protein, my friend.
Yeah.
My
dinner tonight is going to be a bit more fancy. I'm actually going to Teatro Zanzani tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
It appears that the light in the kitchen is burnt out again.
Well, that's no good.
It's not good, especially I want to see what I'm making for dinner. I will use ambient light from the other two rooms.
Did I ever tell you the story about the poo water in the kitchen light at Mr. House?
No.
So I come home one night, and this is, of course, when I was living at Mr. House, and it's late, and I have to go through the kitchen to get to the basement where my bedroom is. And I turn on the light, and I notice that the light is really dim. But I didn't really think anything of it. It was an old house. I thought maybe just like, you know, one of the bulbs had burned out. So I just need to replace one of the bulbs. So
now the fact that you've already introduced this story in a certain way gives me a little bit of insight into what's happening.
I know.
And I for one, am already disgusted.
I tipped my hand with the title of the story. But anyway, so I come back up into the kitchen, and if you remember the way the kitchen was laid out, the main kitchen light was sort of in the middle of the kitchen, so it wasn't over any appliances or anything. So I continue to make my dinner on the stove, and honestly, I don't remember what I was making, but it was getting really annoying because I couldn't see anything. And then and then while I'm cooking something, it must have been like a stir fry or something, I look up into the light, and I notice that it's dim because the fixture is full of water.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
see, this is already, this is not good.
That's interesting. Normally, you don't see light fixtures full of water, and the light's still working. And, and then I notice it, I have to back up. The reason I took a close look at it is because as I was walking through the kitchen, it dripped on me.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, man, no.
I felt a drip on my shoulder. I'm like, what is that? So.
Oh, no.
I go upstairs to where Steven and Jeffrey are. And I'm like, guys, the kitchen light is full of water. And they're like, oh, no. And I come to find out that the upstairs toilet had overflowed earlier in the day.
No, and, Ben, no.
And apparently it had overflowed and leaked into the kitchen
fixture
light.
Something happened a long time ago. What about? Betty is now very concerned.
All right. Well, I'm almost done here.
Okay.
Jeffrey comes down and he unscrews the glass bowl that's covering the light. You know, keep in mind that it's amazing this thing didn't actually fall and hurt someone. But as he's taking it down, you know, a lot of it splashes on the floor.
No. See.
And I turn the light off and I move a lamp, you know, a freestanding lamp into the kitchen to cook the rest of my dinner.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
So that was the poo water in the kitchen light story.
Okay, that's no good. That's no good. Don't like it.
No.
Don't like it. Sorry it happened to you.
Not the best of times.
So, man oh man, huh? What a week, Ben.
Yeah.
So many things happening in the world.
Did you
hear about the King of Thailand?
I did not hear about the King of Thailand.
King of Thailand died.
What?
Maybe just a little while ago. Yeah. He's been a monarch since 1946. but he is now dead.
Do you remember his name?
I do not know his name.
Yeah. I'm
But I'm sure if you just say the King of Thailand, yeah, people will know who you're talking about.
I'm looking at his name online now, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it.
I will tell you this.
Reigned 70 years.
There were many things. They loved their king in Thailand.
Yeah.
And there were many things that were wrong. Like, a lot of stuff that you just couldn't or shouldn't do when the king is around. Or, like, for instance, I remember one was you couldn't point your foot at the castle where the king lived. You could not gesture. I was right the first time.
Yeah.
You cannot gesture to the castle with your foot. Illegal.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that is one of the things that I remember.
Well, it's a good thing I've never been to Thailand, because I probably would have made that mistake. Because you know how I love pointing my feet at things.
I know you do, Ben.
Yeah.
I guess maybe, I forget why that came up, but a friend of mine was talking to me about it. Like, maybe that's a common way to, hey, you go over that way and you just sort of kick. Maybe if you're holding something, okay, this is it. You're holding something. Someone says, hey, where does the king live? Exactly. And you're like, oh, just over there. And you kick in the direction of it. But you cannot. And now it doesn't matter because he's dead.
Yeah.
But his son is still alive. And his son apparently does not command the same amount of respect. However, it is illegal to discuss the monarchy and the laws of secession.
The laws of secession?
Is that how do you call it
when
you decide who becomes king after?
Oh, succession.
Laws of
succession. Secession means that Thailand is going to separate from the rest of
the United States
peninsula.
Yes. Succession.
Like the southern states seceded.
Yes.
That's actually one of my favorite jokes. If somebody ever asks me to tell a joke, I hate it when people ask me to tell a joke.
Ready?
But
yeah.
Whatever reason, the only joke I can ever remember is in school, Robert E. Lee was voted most likely to secede.
Oh my gosh, that's not good.
Okay.
There's one that your roommate, I think. Well, wait, were you and Rick Miller ever roommates?
No.
Ah, your replacement, perhaps. Because he lived in Mr. House, the house that you referred to earlier. For the people who are following this and don't understand what Mr. House is, Mr. House is a specific house.
Yes.
Where Ben lived, and I recommend you go and look for the music video for "This Is Me, This Is My House," and you will see a picture Ben's house.
If you also look for the video location, part of that, we filmed the opening of that video in the living room.
Aha, yes indeed, yeah. We did.
I used that house.
So here is...
Actually, I used my house in a lot of our videos.
Indeed, and we used my house in at least one of them.
Yeah.
Homework stuff. There was something else that we were talking about. Mr. House and Rick Miller told the joke. How do you know that a hillbilly invented toothpaste?
How do you know that a hillbilly invented toothpaste?
Yes.
How do you know?
Otherwise, it'd be called teeth paste. So there's that fun one.
That's a good
one. I've been working on some paintings. So that's been interesting.
Yeah. Hey,
I got the concertina.
Oh, cool. I was just gonna ask you, how was your anniversary? You and Jennifer celebrated 11 years recently.
Oh yes, 11 years, and we had some taken food, and we watched The Witch.
Some taken food? I don't know who you are.
I have a very specific set of skills about food.
I have a very specific set of culinary skills.
Well, it does have to do, I mean, knives, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I got Jennifer a knife.
Oh, a knife.
And she got me a can opener.
Oh, it was very kitchen
one
related.
Of the, yes.
Is 11 years steel, the kitchen, you know, anniversary? Oh, steel. Gotcha.
Steel.
Yeah.
So, you know. And this can opener cuts the top off of the can, the entire top of the can off.
Is it electric?
No, it is not. It is manual.
Oh.
And it is great.
When I was...
And I have been buying food that uses cans.
So you can use a can
opener. Specifically so that I can use the can opener,
yeah.
Yes.
No, I understand that. When I was a kid...
It's pretty cool.
When I was a kid, we had an electric can opener, and it had a little magnet on it, so when you cut the top of the can off, it... lid did not fall inside the can. It kept the lid out.
Yeah. Well, in this case, it's just sort of sitting up there.
Yeah.
And then you deal with prying it off of the top, because sometimes the stuff in it keeps it up. Sometimes the stuff in it adheres the top a little bit to it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, you know, if you have some beans, you know, there might be a little bit of beans at the top.
Yeah.
Kind of stick it on. All right. So I had this fork that I'm using sitting on the burner, but luckily it was on low enough that it wasn't damaged. I had a bowl that I actually burnt myself on because it was sitting too close to a burner.
Yeah, those things get
maybe
hot.
You gotta
be careful.
As I'm talking to you, I just keep on thinking of Jeff, my friend Jeff, who was in that one episode, saying, "So you guys really don't edit this at all?" The answer is nope. All right, so
edit.
I have my spaghetti. I'm gonna go into the room and shut the door.
But there was one
so
other.
So the spaghetti is.
Yeah. You want to eat?
That?
You want to eat your spaghetti in private? Is that a Paul moment?
I'm gonna hit. It's my spaghetti time, Ben. So anyway, but The Witch, pretty...
The Witch?
Pretty spooky movie, yeah. The Witch, it's about this farm that people have, and they have a witch that is near them.
And I take it this witch scares people?
Oh, she scares people.
Places curses on them.
Yeah, it's all very witchy stuff.
Is it a
like
new
you would
movie?
Think. Yeah, pretty new. Oh, here's the thing. The Office, the British version of The Office.
Yeah.
Who is the guy who's friends with David Brent?
I don't know. It's been a while.
You know who I'm talking about, right? The big guy.
Yeah.
He's okay, so that guy.
I think that guy is
in it.
Okay. Now you're
and
not
he's
talking
great.
You're
he's
not
great
talking about Stephen Merchant, the tall lanky.
No.
Yeah.
He's got a mustache. He's a guy who like teaches him bad things and like isn't nice to him either.
Yeah, he's sort of the he sort of out David Brent's David Brent.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember. It's like he calls him by his last name, and it's got an E at the end of it, I think, like Chorky or something like that. But I cannot remember.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing
well,
we have
anyway,
the internet.
But the point is, yeah, we do, but we don't. Because
but we don't.
This is Ben and Paul, Get It Wrong.
Welcome.
Where we don't look anything up.
No.
Until later,
not,
when we do.
Not until we give ourselves permission to. Not until we embarrass ourselves by exposing our lack of trivia knowledge. Or current events. Or government. Whatever the case may be.
So far, what we need to... What we need to find out, and I don't know how you're going to look this up, but we'll see. Is it illegal to point at the palace in Thailand with your foot? We'll look that up.
Oh.
We'll look up what the name of that character is. I would say we'd look up the name of the King of Thailand, but we've already noted that you did look it up, and
yeah.
And so that,
but I'm
that
not gonna. I'm not gonna attempt to say his name because I don't want to screw it up so bad.
You know, I'm betting it's probably illegal to screw up his name too.
You're probably right.
So good. That's safe. It's a safe.
Let's
safe,
see. There's a website called OnlyCham, CHAAM. .com, or maybe it's Chom.
Okay.
And it says do's and don'ts in Thailand.
Oh, great. Let's listen to some of these.
Let's see. If you go to a movie, for example, you have to stand up when everybody stands up. This is at the beginning when they show a short film about the king.
Mm-hmm.
Failing to do so or deliberately failing to show some respect toward the king or the monarchy in any situation where it is expected from you is not only an offense to the Thai people, but it can also get you in very big trouble. This is for tourists, obviously, not for locals who know this thing. As an example, a Swiss man was sentenced to 10 years in jail just because he had sprayed black paint on the king's portrait. Well, I mean, that's vandalism. As the story goes, he had been angry because he couldn't buy alcohol due to the 60th anniversary celebrations of the king's accession to the throne. That was all there is about that. No shoes inside. You should take off your shoes when you enter a house or a temple. No need to say. Or anytime you notice that shoes are being left at the front. Feet are the less sacred part of the body. When you sit in a temple, get on your knees and keep your feet behind you. If you're not sure how to sit, just look at the way all the Thai sit and adopt the same position. It doesn't say anything. I'm scanning the rest.
Well, help.
Does not say anything about pointing your feet at the kingdom, at the castle.
We would say this though. I think that we can derive from what we have read that this is actually true. Great respect for the king.
Yeah.
And the monarchy.
Yeah.
Feet are the worst part of the body. Therefore, moving your feet close to the palace in the direction of, I think that fits at least two things that wouldn't be cool.
So it says most of what the guide says true. You shouldn't point your feet towards a Buddha image.
Oh,
so that's something.
Yeah, and you know, I would say probably. I mean, I wouldn't get into a fight between the King of Thailand and the Buddha, but you know. I think that probably the respect afforded the Buddha, you know, would come close to what they would want the King of Thailand to get from you.
All right. So do you remember?
Second part of my dinner is Lucky Charms.
You're having Lucky Charms for dinner.
Indeed. Dry Lucky Charms.
You know, it's funny.
My favorite dinner.
My phone is sitting on my desk.
Uh-huh.
But every once in a while, I can feel it vibrate in my pocket. And instinctively, my hand goes to my pocket to see if I'm getting a call or a text. And I feel silly because I'm looking at my phone.
So wait, what are you feeling in your pocket then?
I don't know. Phantom vibrations.
Phantom phone.
Yeah, phantom phone.
It's all of your old phones that you've abandoned.
Okay, so I've looked up all the ghosts of all my phones, past and present.
That's right.
I've looked up the David Brent's friend in The Office.
Uh-huh.
Was it Chris Finchy Finch?
Yes, that is right. Finchy.
The actor's name Ralph Ineson.
That's him. Yeah. Ralph Ineson. And he was the father in The Witch.
Yeah, he is in The Witch. Or, judging by the spelling on the poster, The Vitch.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
they make the W out of two Vs, get it?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the 5-5 itch. The 55 itch.
The 5-5 itch, yeah. No. So, and Jennifer and I both.
You both.
We both were. We both weren't sure about it while we were watching it, but upon reflection, we decided that it was a pretty good movie.
Ah, gotcha.
You really can't make a rabbit scary.
Yeah, they tried to make a rabbit scary, and it just wasn't working.
You just can't. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Monty Python I myself is the pinnacle of making a rabbit scary.
What, say again?
I said Monty Python is the pinnacle of making rabbits scary.
Yeah, well, maybe Monty Python ruined it for everybody. And by extension, Jimmy Carter. You know about that, right?
About Jimmy Carter and a rabbit?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Ah, okay, well, this is a true story. Jimmy Carter had an issue where the Secret Service shot and killed a rabbit that was swimming after him while he was on, like, a canoe trip or something like that. And it got a lot of play. As being, you know, George W. Bush's potato chip moment. Pretzel moment, sorry. I forgot which reality I was in. His pretzel moment. It was like that, kind of, where people had some issues, you know, laughing at him for being tormented by this rabbit. Some places called it a swamp rabbit in an attempt to make it sound scarier.
Ooh, a swamp rabbit.
But so that's... So I believe that it happened at the same time that the Holy Grail came out. And that is why there's a killer rabbit. They're making fun of Jimmy Carter.
Makes sense. I don't know what year Holy Grail came out, but Carter was president from 76 to 80. Well, president from 77 to 80. But the
okay, and I know
timeline works out.
I'm pretty sure because I know it's around that time.
Yeah.
When it came out. So that's something else to look up. When did Monty Python and the Holy Grail came out? I'm going to say, or come out. I'm going to say 1980 or 1979.
Yeah, I was going to say one of those two. I'll say 79. Yeah.
Okay. I'll say 78 then. Haha, Price is Right rules.
1975.
I win. No, I don't. Nobody wins. And when was Carter president?
He was elected in 1976. So he served from January 77 to January 19.
Okay. You've got to look it 81. Up, Ben. When did the swamp rabbit attack Carter?
So if I Google Jimmy Carter swamp rabbit, is it gonna come up with anything?
Yeah, see what comes up.
Jimmy Carter rabbit incident.
Maybe he wasn't president when it happened.
Dubbed the killer rabbit attack by the media involved a swamp rabbit that swam towards then U.S. President Jimmy Carter's fishing boat on April 20th, 1979. So it didn't influence Monty Python, but
oh my God.
Monty Python influenced the name of this rabbit.
Oh my God, Ben, that's crazy. This is a total chicken and egg moment. I swore up and down that they were making fun of that incident. But no.
I could tell.
Wow. I'm amazed. You're going to hear me crunching these Lucky Charms, and apologize.
Are you eating them dry?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's the best way to eat Lucky Charms.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Nope.
Okay, maybe not. But anyway.
You gotta have milk, and you gotta have faith.
So the symbols inside of a Lucky Charm, the wheat ones, right?
The wheat, yeah. I think technically they're
wheat
oats.
The parts or whatever? Okay, there's something that looks like a spade, kind of, you know, on a playing card.
Yeah.
There's another thing that looks like I believe the Omega symbol.
The Omega.
I mean, these are weird. Yeah, Alpha and Omega, letters.
Did you buy Illuminati Lucky Charms?
I don't know. There's an X. That's not so bad. There's what looks like a bell. I mean, nobody ever looks at the wheat ones, I think.
Yeah, and people just throw the wheat ones, the oat ones away.
Oh, yeah, they're oats. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
The oat ones. It looks like there's a bell, there's a spade, there's an X, and there's an Omega. Ben,
Paul,
look up what the oat shapes are.
No, I'm not going to
do that. In Lucky Charms. Come on, please.
No,
please
do that on your own time.
Dang it! All right.
Did you?
Still, I want to know.
Did you watch that debate that we had on Sunday?
I didn't know we had a debate.
Yeah, you and I debated.
Oh, the debate. That's what I thought. That's what I thought you were talking about. I'm like, I don't even remember. No, I didn't.
You and I argued about policy.
Okay, now this is a true story, Ben.
Paul.
I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I caught the very tail end of the debate.
Okay.
The very last part.
With the final question?
Jennifer had gone to bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I might as well check out the debate. It was a thing about... Oh, actually, I saw two things. One is I saw the Ken Bone question, so that was the second to last question. But then I saw the one, do you have anything nice to say to each other? And this is the thing, is that...
Well, that was the Ken Bone question.
No. No, Ken Bones was about energy.
No, Ken Bone was the guy who asked, do you have anything nice to say about the other one?
Nope. Look it up, Ben. I'm totally serious. I only had two questions. One was Ken Bone asking about energy. And the other was some other guy asking if they had anything nice to say to one another. I guarantee you.
And the winner of the presidential debate is Ken Bone. Today, the pundits will argue over who won the presidential debate, but we think we can safely deliver the verdict. Ken Bone. The debate, in case you missed it, was a town hall-style affair where audience members, screened by Gallup and selected by the moderators, asked questions of the candidates. And this is from CNN.com. And in the group of well-behaved, articulate truth-seekers was one Mr. Bone. The nasty slime, his question to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton was a doozy. What steps will your energy policy take to meet our energy needs while this, at the same time, remaining environmentally friendly and minimizing job layoffs? But that wasn't why Bone became the internet's insta-darling. It's that name, Ken Bone, Barry Luke Cagey. It's the power outfit, the red cardigan, the white tie, the black rim glasses. People were in love.
So there you go. Energy.
Well, this is one of those ones where... You were convinced that Monty Python made fun of the Jimmy Carter incident. I was convinced that the dude in the red sweater was the guy who asked whether or not they liked each other.
Well, here's the thing. That's what he should have asked. You know what I mean? I mean, in a perfect thing, guy with the red sweater glasses, do you guys have anything nice to say? You know, it's very cool and innocent and all that. I really think that he was wanting them to talk about thorium, and nobody did.
He wanted thorium, them to talk about what?
Thorium. It's TH on the elemental table. It's a radioactive element, and there is apparently a thorium mine, or what, a mine that could be used to mine thorium, in Missouri. And if it were ever picked up, you know, it would mean tons of jobs around here and stuff like that. But he never said thorium, so I don't know if that's actually what his point was.
I think but that anyway, might be a construct of your own mind. He also asked a question. What steps will your energy policy take to meet our energy needs while at the same time remaining environmentally friendly? And then he pulls out a disposable camera. Something you very specifically throw away.
Well, unless he keeps it forever. I'll never develop these pictures.
These are mine.
But, so, and that's the other thing. Is thorium supposed to be environmentally friendly? I don't know, though. The mining of it might be a problem. You know, as far as that goes. But here's the thing, Ben. The question of, do you have anything nice to say to the other ones? Now, you know as well as I do that I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump.
You're not?
No, not really. But I think he did better on that question than Hillary Clinton did. And here's why. Hillary Clinton said that the thing that she admires most about Donald Trump,
yeah,
are his children.
Right.
Right? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
His kids seem like jerks. They kill those wild animals, you know.
But you also have to remember that his answer was that she was a fighter. She doesn't quit. But the problem was, earlier in that same debate, he accused her of having no stamina.
Oh, again? Because he said that in the previous debate also.
Yeah, no, he said that at the second one as well.
So, yeah, I don't know. Again, like I said, I think if I had watched the entire thing, he wouldn't have come off as good at that on that question. But he actually did say a nice thing at that point. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then, oh my gosh, Ben, I don't want to get into hearsay or anything like that.
Okay.
But if you look up these three words, billionaire, Trump, Clinton, scandal.
Wait, which three words do you want me to use?
Oh, actually, yeah, just look up billionaire, Trump, and Clinton.
Why should I do that? What am I looking for?
I just want to, basically, okay, well, I'll tell you what it is. You don't have to look it up, but this is the thing, right? So, Trump has problems. You know, there are problems with his past and possible criminal activities, right?
Yeah.
And whenever he's faced with these things, he says, well, Bill Clinton has told me worse things.
Right.
You know, Bill Clinton's no good. He's basically doing that whole grade school kind of, but teacher, this guy did it too, yeah, right? Yeah. Here's the thing that I learned like months ago that I had forgotten about, but I was reminded of it when he started saying this, that there is a 1 degree of separation, Bill Clinton from
Donald Trump, of this guy who is supposed to have, like, this sex island.
A sex island?
A sex island. And some people reported being assaulted there and stuff like that. And both Bill Clinton and Donald Trump supposedly have gone to this place and hung out. Now, you know, you don't have to, obviously, assault people and do bad things. But here's my point, I guess. Bill Clinton, who, by the way, is not running for president, as I'm sure we all know.
Just amazing that his past was brought up so much.
Bill Clinton and Donald Trump together were friends and did stuff together. And I just think that Trump is kind of playing with fire if he keeps bringing up things that Bill Clinton said to him and stuff like that. Because eventually, you know, people will start trying to connect more of the dots between the two of them. And then this guy's going to come up.
Well, I did look it up on thedailybeast.com. There's an article called "The Billionaire Pedophile Who Could Bring Down Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton."
Yeah, that's correct. That is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
No one's talking about it. I mean, that's fine, you know, because probably it's all a hearsay.
Jeffrey
whatever.
Epstein.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything in the headline about there being a sex island.
Oh, well. Hey, look.
Sure.
I'll read into things what I want.
I'm sure it's in the article somewhere. I'm not going to read it.
So, but this is the issue. There are unsavory things in both men's pasts, and it's kind of a game of chicken right now, I think, as far as who's going to go where with all of this.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I know. And I can't help but laugh when people are like, we have how many billions of people in America, or hundreds of thousands of people, and these are the two dynasties we've chosen
yep.
to lead our land.
So, you know, I mean, there are power structures in place, Ben, that we can't circumvent.
Nope.
You know, whatever.
Pays
we'll
to be the king.
We'll see what happens. The main thing that I've been hearing a lot of lately is that, you know, the Bundy Ranch thing.
Yeah.
Or not. Or and the.
Well, the in Malheur Lake, Malheur, Oregon.
Yeah.
Ammon Bundy.
Like that once Trump loses. I guess you could say if Trump loses, that things like that are going to happen all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of it's nerve-wracking because he's telling his supporters to go, quote, watch the polling places.
Yep.
And he's already saying if he loses, it's because it was rigged.
Which is, you know, a very standard
thing
to say.
It's something that you and I have been talking about for a while. Regardless of who wins, it's going to be a nasty scene everywhere.
Yep.
There will be riots. Stuff is going down. I got a little taste of that last night.
What happened last night?
It's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm chilling in my apartment. And and I hear this yelling from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I live in a pretty dense urban core, and there's a pretty active nightlife down the street. So I'm like, all right, it's just some drunk dude who
can you tell me you don't have to give me your actual address, but what area of Seattle do you live in right now?
I live in an area called the Denny Triangle.
Okay.
And do you know where
I know pretty much exactly where that is.
Yeah, okay. It's I'm by
Rebar around there?
Yeah, I'm by the Rebar. I'm near the rebar.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So anyway, so I hear this...
Stalkers, take note!
I hear this pounding and this yelling. And I'm not going to repeat what was being said, but what I can surmise was that this gentleman wanted to speak with either a current or an ex-girlfriend who lives in my building and she would not speak to him. And so he had some very gotcha. Nasty words to say to her. And it escalated and escalated, and he yelled that he was going to break a window, and indeed he did. And,
wow.
The police were called. The police did not show up with lights blaring because I believe the assailant had left once the window was broken, instead of, like, coming in and doing whatever, because that was his goal.
Yeah.
But there was a big to-do and a big commotion out front once he had left. There were people on their phones, probably talking to 911. When I left this morning, there was a plywood over the front door. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so it's window breaking, upset people. We're just going to get more of that. Granted, it's going to be politically motivated and not romantically.
Exactly. I was going to say, what? So I thought that maybe at the end you would go, and that person was Donald Trump.
And that man's
name.
No,
they were just, you know. Oh, did you know? I don't know. We talked about the debate. Did you know that that was happening about 30 miles away from where I live?
The 30 miles away? Yeah, it was at George Washington University, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. My friend Andy went there.
Really?
Yeah. Well, for 2 years. And then he transferred to UW.
Oh, and that's where you met him, maybe?
No. Or... I've known this dude since, like, sixth grade.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Good friend of mine. yeah, so, yeah, we don't need to talk about the politics anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's just, okay, so I have basically two Twitter accounts now.
Jesus.
One of them is a not a parody account, but it's a fan account of podcasts that I like. And that's all I'll say about that. If you can find it, good luck.
Is that the one that your previous accounts became?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That is correct. But there's a new one.
Okay.
And the account is, are you ready?
No.
G&E are friends. Yes, it is a new giraffe and elephant account. I'm using the other account as sort of a pressure valve. And the G&E one is going to be all nice. All
right, so...
Nice things.
Gentlemen, start your engines. It's been, I don't know, a couple weeks since the last time we played this game. How long until Paul deletes or changes his Twitter account?
I think this is going to be good. I think this one's going to be fine.
I've heard that before, Mr. Duty.
Yeah, but this time, Ben. Like I said, I have a pressure valve now. I could just write to this other one if I need to.
I noticed that.
Or you could do a Twitter account Deadpool. Which one goes away first?
I noticed that your pressure valve account posted pictures of G&D.
Oh, yes. That is correct.
Yeah.
No. Oh, wait. Yes, it did. It did because it was advertising the other account.
Ah.
So people knew that it was around. Yeah, G&E is going to have pictures of G&E in it. Basically, it's coming from Giraffe, and the way I'm putting it is that, or the way I'm making it is it's Giraffe's daily, you know, or, you know, bi-daily, whatever.
Yeah.
Life. And I'm just going to, you know, have pictures of Giraffe and Elephant doing stuff and all that. And that way I get some cartooning in. You know, I don't get rusty.
Right.
But also, you know, it's a little fun thing where you can sort of follow them around in their life.
Well, how nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
We'll see how long it lasts. You're right. it's possible that something else will happen.
Yeah, I sometimes...
As it often does.
I don't tweet often. If you follow me, you realize that.
Yes.
I sometimes will revisit my own timeline, and I don't have to scroll back very far until it feels like I'm back in the Stone Ages. I'm like,
because
I wrote 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And it was just on the
nice.
Second
you don't,
page.
You don't give people too much to read, you know.
No.
Which can be good.
I mean, I read Twitter every day. I try to, at least.
It is really, I mean, you know, they're trying to rebrand themselves as a news source, and it really is kind of a news source.
Yeah. Well,
Citizen reporting.
If you follow the right people or news accounts.
That is for sure. You do have to.
So one last thing.
I do sort of a half and half thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One last thing before we might get to questions this week. Who knows? We're in for the storm of the century this weekend. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's going to get super windy tonight, apparently. Lots of rain.
Everywhere?
Yeah, well, on the West Coast, like from Oregon to Washington. But then Saturday night is supposed to be like sustained winds of like 25, 35 miles an hour, gusts up to 65 miles an hour. They're expecting large swaths of power outages. They're saying to people, be safe and don't die. Basically, they're saying it's going to be the strongest storm we've had since the 1962 Columbus Day storm.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah. So we got that to look forward to.
And again, you know, right around Columbus Day, it's happening again. Yeah. So that's something interesting.
They're calling it, apparently the city is going to be calling it the Arbor Day 2016 storm. Apparently Arbor Day.
Is it going to be Arbor Day?
I guess so. I don't know.
Well, I love trees, Ben. Trees are great.
And they love you, Paul.
Aw, that makes me feel good. So questions.
All right. Of course, nobody sent us questions, so I'm just going to go back to the most popular questions by state. What state do you want to try?
Well, I'll tell you what. We talked a lot about politics today, Ben.
Yeah.
In honor of our two candidates, both of whom are from New York City, let's do New York.
New York. All right. New York there's a lot of questions, so I'm going to be picking and choosing. Let's see. Question number one. Am I bisexual?
Again, this is one of those things of the person who's asking the question is the only one who could truly answer.
Right. So,
unless of course they have a sassy friend.
Sometimes
who is willing to render judgment.
Sometimes we go through a lot of these questions and they're basically hypothetical dumb questions, but there are some, questions that can be answered in New York, and I'm going to pick and choose those. So the next question that we can actually try to ask is Cornell an Ivy League school? Now, I don't know. Harvard and Yale are the only ones that I think are Ivy League.
I'm going to say, okay, now here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that the answer is going to be yes with qualifications.
Yes with qualifications.
Like it's going to say, yeah, it is, but...
Right.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that they're going to say that it is, but then they're going to have some disclaimers in there about it.
Okay. Like, yeah, it's Ivy League, but it's only been, like, recently Ivy League, so it doesn't really count, something like that.
Exactly. Yep.
Cool. Next question. What's a millennial?
Oh, well, as we know, a millennial is someone who came of age during the 2000s.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say something like they were around high school age. At the turn of the century.
Like, so I think if you were born like, in... Like, you're not a millennial, right? You're like...
No, I'm Generation X.
Generation X still?
I'm like at the tail end of Gen X.
Me as well, so...
Yeah, I want to say millennials are like... People who were born between like 1982... and 1996. I'm just going to arbitrarily say those words.
Okay, that sounds pretty good to me. I'm going to say... hold on, let me think about this for a second.
I'd, I'd accuse you of looking it up, but
No. I really am just thinking. I'm gonna say 89 to 94. That's not right at all. 80. No, I think you're right, Ben.
Okay.
I'm not even going to forget those numbers. I just
No, said. Too late. I wrote them down.
Oh, dang it. All okay. Right.
The next question that can possibly be answered, when is Passover?
Oh, gosh.
I have no earthly idea. And I should know this.
Yeah, I don't know. Why should you know it?
Because Blair's Jewish.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, Blair. Sorry. I may be Jewish. There's a question in the air about it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, well, okay, so here's the thing. On 23andMe, right? I am listed as being a third Ashkenazi.
Okay.
Not a third, sorry. 3%, much less than a third. 3%. But the thing is, the way that they tell is if you're related to other people who consider themselves Ashkenazi, which, as you can imagine, is confusing because maybe there's a whole bunch of people who do consider themselves that are genetically the same as other people. You know what I mean? It's
right.
It's you're not dealing purely with genes anymore. You're dealing with familial relations. I don't know. I guess all genes are familial relations. Anyway, so,
well,
but the fact is, I was raised by Germans. No idea when Passover is.
Okay. And the final question before we answer these, is Hillary Clinton left-handed? I don't know,
but I'm
going to say
I'm going to say no. Okay. And get this, I'm right-handed, you're left-handed. We both decided that she is whatever-handedness we are.
That probably speaks well of us for her.
Let's find out.
All right. So the first question that we asked is Cornell an Ivy League school? The eight institutions are Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, UPenn, Princeton, and Yale. So yes, Cornell is an Ivy League school.
Nice. No qualifications necessary.
Nope. All right. The second question we asked, what's a millennial? What is a millennial?
And hey, good on us for not... I'm going to pat us on the back, Ben. We didn't say anything about their attitudes or any, you know. I think that us Gen Xers, Ben, most of us anyway, are still, you know, hey, I know what it was like. I remember how much it was bad to have no real prospects because other people screwed stuff up, you know, whatever.
Right, blah, blah, right.
So I think we're a little bit nicer on the millennials than the baby boomers might be.
I tend to be pretty hard on them too.
Oh yeah?
Generally. Yeah, I am.
See, I guess my thing is there are a couple of millennials that I work with.
Yeah.
Who are pretty good at stuff. You know? And I do see them sort of slack off sometimes, but no more so than the rest of the workforce. So
yeah, I think it's I don't know what it is for me. I think it's the every kid gets an award sort of entitlement that I see a lot
really?
Of.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy because I think I mentioned this to you before. Did you not get an award
no.
when you were a kid
no,
for nothing?
No, I played sports, and if we didn't win, we did not get a trophy.
Wow. See, we all got trophies, and this is like in 1980s or whatever. The thing is, and this might be different for them, we didn't feel as though the trophy was worth anything that we got for not winning.
Ah.
The winning is what got, you know, you got the trophy, and you're like, oh, well, I guess, you know. And what happens is you look at that trophy every day, and you're like, I didn't do that well in that thing. So it made you feel kind of bad. But, Ben, There's a man named Fred Rogers. Maybe you've heard of him. We knew him as Mr. Rogers when I was a kid. And this is one of my go-to things, so you may have already heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. There was an episode where there was a chef. The chef talks about going to a baking competition, and he was hoping that he would win. He doesn't win second place. He doesn't win third place. He doesn't win first place. He doesn't win at all. He's just there, and he's telling Mr. Rogers that he liked being there and seeing all the cakes, and he thought it was okay. Best episode for a kid like me ever.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things of like, yeah, you're not going to win. It's fine. Deal with it.
And here's just another shout-out.
Find other things to be happy about.
Here's another shout-out to Mr. Rogers testifying in front of a congressional committee on public broadcasting funding and how he was able to sway a congressman. Which is not really anything.
I do remember that.
Not really anything that happens these days. If you change your mind on something, you're considered weak, which is kind of sad. Anyway.
Yeah.
This is from theatlantic.com. They actually, they denote all the generations. So it goes greatest generation, baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, millennials, and kids born in the last 10 years, as it was Betty, are TBD. They have not been designated yet. But,
oh, hey, really quick. Are you and I both Gen Xers?
So here's the thing. Gen X and Gen Y has a bit of an overlap.
Okay.
So they say Gen X are from 65 to 80. If you're born from 1965 to 1984, this researcher calls it the baby bust. Gen Y says anywhere from the mid-70s, when the oldest were born, to the mid-2000s, when the youngest were born. So they're putting them in about 20 to 25 year time frames.
So what were you, 70?
I was born, 75? I was 76.
76? Whoa, wait, huh. All right.
There's an asterisk on Gen Y, and this article says, "Note: uh-huh. Generation Y is a fake, made-up thing. Do not worry about it."
That's great.
Mostly Gen Y is a made-up generation when it becomes obvious that the young kids didn't really fit with the cool Gen X aesthetic, but not enough of them had been born to make a new generation designation.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I feel like you and I are both Gen X, Ben. I'll grandfather you in.
I identify with Gen X, and so I'm gonna keep it. So millennials. In October 2004, researchers Neil Howe and William Strauss called millennials, quote, the next great generation, and this is funny. That's what it says in the article, which is funny. They define the group as, quote, those born in 1982 and approximately the 20 years thereafter.
Aha, well, there you go, Ben. You did a thing.
I did say it was 92. I only ended it after 14 years, but anyway. So yeah, that's what a millennial is.
Well, good on them.
When is Passover? Quickly, we got to do these. When is Passover?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say it has something to do with the moon. What is Passover?
I'm sorry.
Phases of the moon. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. It's just the way that you said it. It sounded so... It sounded so like old man on his porch.
Old man probably has
something to do with the moon or whatever. Which is funny because Passover is, of course, a very old-timey thing.
Passover, this is saying what it is, the reason for it. Passover commences on the 15th of the Hebrew month of Nisan and lasts for either 7 days in Israel and for Reform Jews and other progressive Jews around the world who would adhere to the biblical commandment. Or 8 days for Orthodox, Hasidic, and most conservative Jews. So It's not based on lunar phases. It's based on Hebrew month of Nisan or Nissan. I don't know how to pronounce that. N-I-S-A-N.
Okay, so what does that line up with on the Gregorian calendar?
For 2017, it begins on Monday, April 10th, and ends on Tuesday, April 18th. Evening.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, it's
so nice. So April. Mark that on your calendar, and then say to Blair, "Hey, Blair, guess what? I know it's Passover."
Yeah.
And that's it.
Guess how
that's
I know? All... Oh, you listened to the episode.
And she'll go, "Yes, Ben, congratulations." I think you'll be like, "Let me in, or I'm gonna break one of these windows."
So I got the final question was, "Is Hillary Clinton left-handed?" And I started to type in, "Is Hillary Clinton?" And listen to the autocompletes.
Oh my God! Okay.
Is Hillary Clinton going to win? Is Hillary Clinton left-handed? Is Hillary Clinton?
Whoa! Number two.
Is Hillary Clinton winning? Is Hillary Clinton a reptilian? Is Hillary Clinton married?
Answer is yes to all of the above. married, left-handed. Did you hear that story? I don't know the veracity of it or not, but I liked it. Where two staffers were discussing some rumors that were circulating about Hillary Clinton.
What rumors?
And she overheard one of them. And she overheard one of the rumors and she said, "Did they really say that I had sex with a collie?"
What?
And then they said, "No, colleague." She's like, "Oh, okay." Because, and it was to illustrate that, you know, the stories, they're reaching for all these things about how bad she is or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing I will say, Ben, and I'll just say it once and I'll let it go. The Clinton campaign did themselves a disservice by how they did Bernie Sanders.
How they did Bernie.
If they had been straight or shooter with Bernie Sanders in the beginning.
Yeah.
All this Trump stuff. You know, when you hear this stuff, I would be like, "This is horrible. This is awful. This is bad." And now I'm like, I wonder if this is sort of like that other thing. And then I think this is horrible. This is awful. This is bad. There's not. I mean, you know what I mean?
I feel
bad that I have to have that little pause.
Yeah, but I look at it in that, you know, Hillary Clinton and the Clinton campaign and the DNC disenfranchised a bunch of Democrats. And if it weren't for the terrible nominee the Republicans put forth, she's still going to, I think, win the presidency. If they were,
I believe she will.
Yeah.
And,
if they were,
you know,
if they put, you know, if Jeb Bush, for God's sakes, if he got the Republican nomination, I think we would be in serious trouble.
Well, I was thinking about what would happen if Mitt Romney were to all of a sudden run.
Right.
As the Republican nominee.
You know, he wants to.
You know
to.
What I mean? That would, yeah, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think that things are too cray-cray for anything like that to occur.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, it's weird. It would be completely against the norm if that were to happen. But also too boring to stick, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, is she left-handed, Ben?
No, she's not, but Bill is.
Don't keep me in suspense. Uh-huh. So I was right.
That's wrong.
I like to hear.
All right. And with that, we're going to have to leave it today because I gotta boogie out of here.
All right. So, Ben, I am very happy that we have these chances to talk to one another.
Yeah.
Hey, Betty.
And I.
We can only talk to you for like 1 second.
And I think. Oh, that's right.
I'm
I forgot.
Dad.
I think.
Oh.
I,
what was so.
I learned
what
something.
Was,
oh.
What was the so bad thing?
All right. Talking to Betty, Ben, what we're going to do is I'm going to put one of the. Give Betty one of the earphones. And I want you to recap for a second.
Okay.
The thing about your light.
Okay.
In Mr. House. Okay. And here's Ben.
Hey, Betty, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so what really disturbed your father was a story I was telling that happened in a house I lived in a few years ago. I got home, and I noticed that the kitchen light was really dim. And after a while, when I was cooking my dinner, I noticed that the kitchen light had dripped on me. And looking at the light, I saw that the light fixture itself was full of water. And so I went up to my roommates who were upstairs, and I told them that the kitchen light is full of water. And they told me that the reason that happened is because the toilet upstairs had flooded earlier that day. And so the kitchen light in our kitchen where we make food was full of poo water.
Isn't that gross?
Why?
Okay, I think that's about it.
Yeah. You'll notice I don't live in that house anymore.
Hey, wait a second. Yeah. All right, Ben. Well, thanks a lot. And hey, I hope you have fun.
Yeah, thanks.
And you know, Teatro Zanzani, always a good time.
It should be. Well, it better be. I mean, yeah, I got the tickets, but I still have to pay for drinks and tips and all that. Anyway. Yeah, I'll talk to you. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Right. Keep it wrong, everybody.
Hey, keep it wrong.